Good morning to everybody sitting around the table this morning on the Zoom meeting. What a privilege, all over the country, literally all over the country. Also, welcome to the people that's going to listen in later on whatever way they connect up. Welcome this morning around the transformation table. It's a privilege to be here with you guys. Pieter Maree, can I ask you to open for us in prayer this morning, if you don't mind, please?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful privilege to be here together. Lord, I pray that everything will be to your glory and to your honor, that you will speak into our hearts, and that your wonderful name may be glorified through us and everyone that will listen on the podcast, that the Holy Spirit will quicken the word in our hearts and in their hearts. We want to give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank
Amen.
you, Peter. We hope that your doctor's visit will be successful. It's amazing, Freek, how the enemy is attacking your instruments, eh? You guys that stand on the pulpit, how the enemy is attacking your instrument. It is it is could have been something else. You know, it could have been a sore finger, but now it is the voice that is getting attacked. So last week we're still on our process of discussing the Holy Spirit. We're on a journey and we're going somewhere. Last week, if I may abbreviate it, Henry, and correct me if I'm wrong, or last week we're talking about don't wait for the wind, seek it. Don't wait for the voice of the Holy Spirit, seek it. And also we had a little bit of a chat around the, and it's something that is that I've been thinking about a lot, is where do you find the men of peace? In which where do you find them in the towns and the cities and everywhere, which I find very interesting, but that's not particular to the subject. But Henry, I think let's get going. The stage is yours. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, no, this is really a precious subject for me. I really enjoy speaking about the things of the Holy Spirit a lot because, can I say, the Holy Spirit is a subject that is generally kind of shunned in many churches. People don't want to speak about it. Maybe they're scared of it. I know. I speak to some people. I find that they're really scared of anything, the gifts of the Spirit, anything to do with the Holy Spirit. They may be scared of that, and a lot of that is because of false teaching that has made them scared. People that have said, "Oh, you must be careful of those people. They crawl around the floor," and I don't know why they keep on saying that they crawl around the floor, but it's something that you hear often. So we've been going through this little booklet that I've written, the book one. I've got three books on this subject, and busy with book four. In the Afrikaans, this is the little booklet, Ontvang die Heilige Gees, receive the Holy Spirit. But I'm going to go through the English one, and I'm going to jump two chapters where I just shared some testimonies of our own, of somebody else. So I'm just going to jump over that. If you're interested in the booklets, I can send it to you. We give it out free of charge as a blessing to people to help them to understand this very important subject. So I'm going to go to chapter 7, and the heading there is Almost Persuaded. And the story is a very interesting story. It's about the Apostle Paul, who was arrested, and he had to appear before a court and be tried for his faith in Jesus and the work that he was doing, proclaiming the gospel, Evangelii. And just going through this, we read this story in Acts chapter 26. It says there that the Apostle Paul had been arrested and was now standing trial before the governor Festus, who invited the king Agrippa and his wife Bernice to sit with him in the judgment seat. And Paul was brought out of prison, and King Agrippa granted him an opportunity to make his own defense. So we read that defense in Acts chapter 26, and basically his defense was his testimony. This is what happened to me. This is what God did to me. It's a wonderful thing because nobody can deny that or oppose that, because that's really what happened. That's your testimony. And I think we should more often refer to that. This is what God did for me. It's personal testimony. So Paul's defense was a testimony of God's wonderful working in his own life. In his defense, he tells of his dramatic conversion on the Damascus Road when he was actually on his way to the city to persecute the Christians. Now, remember, Paul came to conversion, Paul was a Pharisee trained in the Pharisaic law, and he was persecuting the Christians and dragging them to prison and seeing them killed. And as he was on his way actually to persecute Christians in Damascus, the winds, inverted commas, of the Spirit blew across his pathway in the form of a bright, blinding light that stopped him in his tracks. And a voice spoke to him in the Hebrew language and said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the pricks." That's an interesting thing. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. This was Jesus speaking. And Paul responded to Jesus and said, "Who are you, Lord?" That's an interesting response, because Paul was trained in probably the best Bible college in the world at that time, under Gamaliel, a Pharisee. He was headed for leadership, and he probably could quote huge portions of the Old Testament verbatim. And in this Bible college, he comes now confronted by Jesus, who says to him, "Why are you persecuting me?" And he asks this question, "Who are you, Lord?" With all his Bible college training, he never met Jesus. That's interesting. And I think we have that today, that people are very learned in supposedly biblical matters, but never met Jesus. I don't know if maybe you're sitting, whoever is listening to this, you're sitting with that you've been trained and have so much knowledge, but actually never met Jesus. That's a critical thing. So I've written here, what an interesting statement from heaven. God had seen that Paul was continually resisting the Holy Spirit. I wonder about that, continually resisting the Holy Spirit. Instead of hearing and recognizing the message of the wind, as it were, that was crossing his path again and again, he was stubbornly resisting it. How merciful of God to give him another chance, speaking to him so clearly that he had no choice but to recognize and bow to his stubborn head. So this resistance of the Holy Spirit, the Lord says there, is kicking against the pricks. Now, you know the pricks, the goads. All the farmers will understand it, especially cattle farmers. You've got this stick that you, with a sharp point to it. Now we use electrical prods, and you prod the animal so that he gets a bit of a shock and forces him to move forward. It's a painful thing. It's a shocking thing. But the Lord says to him, "You're kicking against the pricks. Instead of moving when I'm pricking you, when I'm goading you, you're kicking against that. You're resisting the voice of the Holy Spirit." And I wonder how many of us have maybe been there, just resisting, pushing against. This can't be the Holy Spirit. I don't want it in my life. So the governor, Felix, was hearing Paul's defense. And Paul was describing the calling which he had received during this Damascus Road experience. And as he declares the call to righteousness and power of the resurrection of Jesus, the governor becomes frightened and the wind is crossing his path too. Instead of responding to that wind, he calls out to Paul, "You are out of your mind, Paul. Your great learning has made you mad." He tries to put his own thinking to this. This is crazy. This message of this testimony is crazy, and he thinks Paul is out of his mind speaking that. And Paul replies in Acts chapter 26, verse 25, "I'm not out of my mind, most excellent Festus, but I utter words of sober truth." Sober truth. That's an interesting thing. Sober truth. That's a truth that wakes you up. It's sober. It's real. Then he says, "For the king knows about these matters, and I speak to him also with confidence, since I'm persuaded that none of these things escape his notice, for this had not been done in a corner." So the Christians, the move, they call it, you read in the scriptures, they call it the way. The move of the Spirit through the Christians, so many people come to faith, and even though they've been persecuted, they still have strong faith in the Lord. And Paul says this was not done in a corner. It's not like they were hiding away. They were bold about their faith. And the whole world, a known world there, knew about this. God was busy moving. So he's putting the king under pressure. Then Paul, the accused, addresses the king, the judge, and puts him on the spot. Agrippa has to respond to this wind that is blowing ferociously across his pathway. And Paul asks him, look at this question. "King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do." In other words, "King, where do you stand?" Where do you stand? I mean, that's a very direct thing to the king. The prophets have spoken. He has heard the voice of the prophets. He's probably read. He knows what the prophets have said. And Paul asks him, "Where do you stand?" And we can ask everybody on this group and anybody listening to this, where do you stand with God, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit? Where do you stand? The king is forced to respond because imagine Paul is the prisoner and he's asking the king, "Where do you stand?" That's quite a thing. So the king is forced to respond. What is he going to do about the message of the prophets, about the wind that has been blown across his pathway again and again? Every time he came across a message that the Christians were preaching, he must answer. And he must respond to this wind. You can't just ignore it. The message is so strong. The gospel has been preached right across Judea, and he is the king, and he's hearing this. And Acts 26, verse 28, this king gives a pitiful answer. He says, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." What a pitiful answer. The message is coming, blowing across his pathway, and he says, "Almost, you're persuading me to become a Christian. Almost, almost, almost." There's an old hymn that was written about this statement of the king. It goes like this: "Almost persuaded Christ to receive, to believe. Almost persuaded Christ to receive. Almost cannot avail, almost is but to fail. Sad, sad that bitter wail, almost but lost." Almost. You think how sad that he hears this amazing gospel message. He says, "Almost, almost but lost." Somebody wrote about this. To be almost persuaded is to be eternally lost. That's quite a statement, isn't it? To be almost persuaded is to be eternally lost. In other words, I'm not making any decision. Almost, I'm persuaded. I'm thinking about this. It's an interesting thing, but I'm not going to be persuaded. I'm not going to respond. I'm just saying, almost, you persuade me. So, in great mercy, the grace and grace, the wind blew past the king. He had an opportunity of a lifetime to change the course of his life, but he missed it. Almost, but lost. Towards the end of Jesus' ministry on earth, he looked over Jerusalem and wept for the city. We read the following book account in the book of Luke. Luke 19, verse 41. When he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, "If you had known in this day, even you, the things which make for peace, but now they've been hidden from your eyes. For the days will come when you come upon you, when your enemies will throw up a barricade against you and surround you and hem you in on every side, and they will level you to the ground and your children within you. They will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation." The Afrikaans Nuwe Lewende Vertaling, in that Bible, in the last part of verse 44, where this is quoted from, it says there in Afrikaans, "Omdat jy die beslissende tyd van God se genade besoek aan jou neerken het nie." And now, beslissende tyd means the decisive time, the time to make a decision. When God visited you in this word, there's a visitation of God in our ears as we hear this message preached. He says that when the decisive time, when you heard this message, you didn't recognize that God was busy speaking to you through the Holy Spirit, and you made no decision. It's a beslissende tyd. It's a time to make a decision. So this phrase means this beslissende tyd means the defining or decisive moment. Genadebesoek means grace visit. In other words, at the time when grace was available for Jerusalem, its people at the opportunity to respond, but they did not recognize the significance of the moment. It was a decisive time. They refused to respond to the Holy Spirit, and the result was the complete destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. Not one stone remained upon another. There is a decisive time in each individual's life, or even in the life of a nation, when God's grace is available. Such a time comes to a nation too. During that time, the Holy Spirit is active, speaking to people, convicting them of sin and righteousness and judgment to come. It is a time when the Spirit is wooing his people, drawing them towards repentance and intimacy, just like the bridegroom did to his bride-to-be in the Song of Solomon. I dare say that the nation of South Africa, particularly, is standing at such a pinnacle moment. I wrote a book which is available for you, Expropriation of Land Without Compensation. What does the Bible say? That's a subject that's been much discussed these days, especially among farmers, politically discussed, expropriation of land without compensation. Now, what I've done in this book, I've had a look at what the Bible says about these things, and you find that the expropriation of land subject is not new to us. You find this spoken of throughout the Old Testament, many places you read about this. And you read about many other things too, disasters in a nation. And you read that when an enemy comes and takes over the nation and rules wickedly, when disasters strike, when your land gets taken away, when there's droughts or floods or earthquakes or diseases, pestilences like COVID, I suppose. When all these things happen, it's very clear from the prophets, and you read it in the Old Testament prophets again and again, that when you see these things happen, know that God is busy speaking to the nation. And folks, I want to say that emphatically, when we see these things happen in our nation, which we do, we've seen a lot of these things, droughts and floods and all sorts of things being ruled by evil people that do things that is just not acceptable. When we see these things, the scripture says, the Old Testament prophets speak again and again. When you see these things, you must know God is busy speaking to the nation as a whole, and we must hear the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to us, and we need to respond to that. What are you going to do with the wind of the Holy Spirit speaking to you? And the words of the Holy Spirit are actually turn back to God as a nation, turn back to the Lord. And you read that all over the place. Elijah was sent, is even being sent in the last days to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and children back to the fathers and families turn back to the Lord. That's what we read in the scriptures. The Lord is wanting to do restoration, to turn us as a nation back to our worship of the Lord. So Paul writes about his testimony, or speaks about his testimony, how that it was only on the Damascus Road that the Lord stopped Paul abruptly. Blinding him. Now, Paul, you just imagine before that happened, Paul was part of the party that stoned Stephen to death. He agreed to that. Stephen was a godly man who's really served the Lord. He was preaching the gospel, praying for people to be healed. Wonderful things were coming out of Stephen. And he was grabbed by these Pharisaical people, and Paul was party to that, and he was stoned. And Paul was there watching these stones hit Stephen's body, and as he was dying, Stephen said, "Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And Paul heard that. I wonder how Paul slept that night. This man being stoned is blessing his murderers. You know, that must affect you. That must speak to you. And to think I was a part of the stoning of that man, killing him, and he's offering forgiveness to me, the murderer. So Jesus stops him in his tracks and says, "How long will you still persecute me? Why are you persecuting me?" Chapter 9, verse 3, it says, that's Acts chapter 9, verse 3. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." There we get this thing against kicking against the pricks, that the Lord is busy speaking to us as a nation, to us as individuals. What are we doing with that voice? Are we kicking against the pricks? Are we trying to resist the work of the Holy Spirit? Are we really hearing that God is busy speaking to us? And I want to say, especially to ch churches, let's say to the religious community of South Africa, that the Holy Spirit is busy wooing us as the body of Christ, coming to come closer to Him. I was sitting watching some little doves. There was a little female dove sitting on the electrical wire, and a male dove flew up and sat next to her. And you know what the doves do? It's woo, 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 woo. And he's interested in this little female. And then the female flies away. And you think that's a bit of a slap on the face. Female flies away. As I watched this, I thought, the Holy Spirit is also wooing us. And are we just flying away? I don't want anything to do with this Holy Spirit is too new for me. It's out of my comfort zone, the things of the Holy Spirit. What are you doing with the wooing of the Holy Spirit? He's wooing you because he loves you and he wants to become a part of your life and guide you. So what does that mean, kicking against the pricks? There's a study Bible that gives this as an explanation. Pricks or goads are sharp pointed sticks used to get animals moving. Paul was evidently under conviction and was trying to stifle the goading of his conscience by increasing the intensity of the persecution of the Christians. So when the Holy Spirit is guiding him, instead of listening to that, he's increasing the intensity of his resistance and his persecution. So the Holy Spirit was working in Saul's conscience, wooing him, but in spite of the pricks edging him towards repentance, he stubbornly refused to listen. How great is our Lord's grace! Yet that Damascus Road experience was a defining moment for Saul. Saul had a decision to make, and he made the right one. His life was changed forever, and later his name too. He had a new purpose and direction for his life. I've had several such defining moments in my life, and I'm sure many of you've had such defining moments. Moments in time which changed my life forever. Decisions that I had to make in obedience to the direction of the Holy Spirit. I'm sure many people can tell of similar defining moments. The important thing is, what will we do with the voice of the Holy Spirit, this wind wooing us, warning us, directing us? What will you do? Is the Holy Spirit possibly wooing you? I've seen people reacting to that with a negative thing. No, I don't want anything to do with this. Be careful. Be careful how you respond to the things of the Holy Spirit. The Bible speaks about the Holy Spirit, that blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is an unforgivable sin. And you think the gifts of the Holy Spirit, should we say that the gifts are bad, or are the gifts good? I mean, if God has given a gift, whatever it be, tongues, interpretation, prophecy, whatever the gift, are those bad things for us, or are they good? Be careful how you answer that in yourself. Because when God gives us gift, and love, by the way, is not a gift. Love is a fruit of the Spirit. Love is the response, the way my life changes when the Holy Spirit is in charge, that the character of Jesus starts pouring out of my life, love and kindness and peace and joy and the different patience and so on, the different fruit of the Spirit. Love is a fruit. The gifts are given for work within the body of Christ and amongst people. The Holy Spirit gives those gifts, and to resist the gifts, the scripture says a few times, do not resist the work of the Holy Spirit. Don't resist it. Then it says, also where it says pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts. Can you describe your life's response as an earnest desire for the things of the Spirit? Is that really the response of your life? Do you desire earnestly, Lord, I really want all that your Holy Spirit wants to give me. I desire it. I want it. I search for that. Is that your response? Because that should be our response. What do you desire? What do you long for? Do you long for the things of the Spirit? Because if you ask, you'll be given. If you seek, you'll find. If you knock, the door will be opened. If you really seek the things of the Spirit with an open heart, he will open his treasure chest and give you those things that you desire for. So responding is, we mustn't resist it. We mustn't kick against the pricks, but we should say, Lord, I desire that. I really long for the things of the Spirit to work through my life. I open my heart, say, here I am, Lord, work through me. I receive the Holy Spirit. So I've written here, Will you respond? Is that wind possibly blowing across your pathway today? Has the Holy Spirit been speaking to you? Is there something that you know that you shouldn't be doing or something that you should be doing? Is he speaking to you about your marriage, about your relationship with your wife, your husband, your children, your parents? Is there someone that you should be forgiving or a business deal that you should make right? Whatever it is, my dear friend, may I ask you, don't be almost persuaded. Make your decisions, bow your knee, respond to this his wind. It is for your blessing. Whatever you might need to give up or bow to will be worth it in the end. See this as the beginning of your walk with the Holy Spirit as your guide. We're speaking about the Holy Spirit, but this is the beginning of how we respond to the Holy Spirit. As we go later on deeper into the things of the Spirit, the beginning of this is how do I respond when I recognize the Holy Spirit's busy doing something to me. He's busy convicting me about my relationship with, in my marriage, with people, whatever. I feel this conviction in my heart. There needs to be change. How will you respond when that conviction comes? Yes, Lord, I recognize you're busy speaking to me about this. Help me to change my attitude, whatever it might be. In John 16, verse 13, it says, "When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth." So the Holy Spirit comes to guide us into truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. So the Holy Spirit is given to us for a very specific purpose, to guide us into truth about our lives, truth about our relationships, truth about the Word, so that we can walk in that truth. So whatever the Holy Spirit is busy doing in your life, in my life, you must know that he is guiding us to something that is good and right and honorable. And I need to respond. You need to respond. So, in the next part, we will go on next week to speak about the heart condition and how that is affected. But I just want to encourage you to respond. God is busy speaking. Here's that little book. It's available in English and Afrikaans. I'll send it out free of charge. The expropriation of land. Basically, God is busy moving in our country through all sorts of things that are happening. How will we respond to the wooing of the Holy Spirit? Just like Jesus walked there in Jerusalem, he wept over the city and he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if only you had known the things that make for peace, you would have responded. But now, because you're not responding, you're rejecting the way of peace, your city is going to be completely smashed. Not one stone will be left on another. Your children, your families, everything will be completely destroyed because you're not responding." So God is busy speaking to us, South Africans, for you personally, in your marriage, in your life, with your children. God is speaking. How will we respond? Maybe we can respond, maybe some thoughts from the panel here about this message. Let me open it to you and we can discuss this. Thank
Thank
you,
you,
mentor.
Henry. Thank you, Henry. I've never heard it being said this way. It is what the thought that came up in my mind is, we started off the meeting. We're talking about the technology that's available, Zoom, being able to contact or be in contact with everybody at the same time all over the world and the country. But the Holy Spirit didn't send out a generic email to everybody and said, "Follow me." It is a personal touch. That wind, that whisper, is a personal touch each time. I think if we listen to the testimonies on the panel around the table, we will see how personal that soft touch is. For each one had a different journey and has a different journey with the Holy Spirit. It is not a generic email that was sent out by the Holy Spirit and said, right, this is how we're going to do it. Everyone has got an individual touch. That is the one thing that's very special for me. And you started off with Paul being in court. Somebody said to me one day, he says, if you had to go and defend yourself in court one day for being a believer, would you be found guilty? You know, is your life showing, if they scratch on your life, will they be able to find you guilty of being a believer? And that's an important question, but you actually posed another question. There's another case that should be put against us, and that is, does your believing show fruit, and does it show that you are seeking the Holy Spirit? Will you be found guilty of that one as well? So there's two. There should be two cases against us, opened in court. Peter, you've got your hand up.
Yeah, thanks very much. I just want to add here, the prophet Joel in the Old Testament said that in the end days, God says he will pour out his spirit on all flesh. And then in the New Testament, Acts 2, verse 17, where Peter is preaching after Pinksterdag, after Pentecost, it says in the Afrikaans, in die laaste dae, spreek God, sal ek van my gees uitstort op alle vlees. It says exactly in the last days, it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Now, the Holy Spirit was poured out at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And as a result of that, the church was formed. Now the church is still being formed, and the Holy Spirit is still actively engaged on that work on planet Earth. And I just wanted to put that in there, that it wasn't just a one-time outpouring for then, it's still now. The church is still being developed. That's you and me. That's you and I. The Holy Spirit is not finished with us. And so we can't write off any of these things. We have to respond, like Henry said. Thanks, Henry. Thanks, guys.
Samuel?
Yeah, good morning. Good morning to Mensah and everybody. Yeah, I am back. I've been there and we were having a wonderful time. It's only that the time was very short. But as a group, Freka and me and Edmund, we was only three. But as I have seen how God has now uses us, we was more than enough. We was enough to even take a whole prison upside down. Yeah, that's all that I can say for with my visit. But just to come back, I just want to touch just one point. The moving of the Holy Spirit, or as Angel was saying, the wooing, the importance to be very sensitive when the Holy Spirit is speaking. So we have different callings, and the Holy Spirit also speak in different ways. Now, I just want to add what has happened yesterday. I was now servicing my car, and in the meantime, on the cell phone, I was not listening to a short clip of a certain preacher. Now, he was not speaking of in the days back, how he was now evangelizing and taking notes and taking contact numbers of the people and follow up. And now in the meantime, something kicked. And I think it was the Holy Spirit waking me up. And I remembered maybe 2 years ago, Then I was doing evangelism at the mall, one of the malls here. And I met different people whose numbers and names I take. And immediately my thoughts went, or I remembered that people, and I have their contact numbers in my phone. And immediately I call them. The first one I call, and is a lady, and she answered. And I introduce myself. She cannot remember. Then I have to bring her, I have to take her back until she recall and say, yes, I know you. Now I remember you. Yes, you met me at the mall and you share the word of God. Now I begin to ask certain questions. Are you still going to church? She say, yes. Now, are you born again? Say, yes. And she mentioned a church in Windhoek, and I know that church. And I say, oh, yes, okay, you are in a very good church. Now I ask one question. Now, the time that I met you, have you been born again or not yet? And she said, no, I was not born again. Now, yesterday was a very happy day for me, which means that the time I met her, the seed that I have sown, so God has do something. So such a long time has passed. And then I call again other numbers, and they respond just the same. Now what my point is, when I was not listening to that clip of that preacher, so the message that I get must be the Holy Spirit to give in my, or bring in my remembrance, that I make this follow up, which means it's still empowering me to still now keep on doing what I am doing or what I was doing. So the Holy Spirit can whisper in different ways to our spirit. So it was a very encouraging moment yesterday. It's like the Holy Spirit bring again in my remembrance so that I must keep on doing. Because every little effort that we are doing in different ways counts. Thank you, Omenso.
Thank you, Samuel. Yes, I think the important thing is that the Holy Spirit speaks to everyone in a different way, sometimes gentle, sometimes not so gentle. And it's understanding that. And I just want to mention something, because you sort of mentioned something on the side, and we must be awake, because it's not something that's on the side. And this is land expropriation without compensation. The other day, I'm on a group, and I agree with you completely, Henry. The Holy Spirit is definitely wakening up South Africa. There's you know, I can testify to seeing that busy happening. And I'm on a group where there's a lot of people. It's a huge group, and it's a lot of, it will represent everybody in South Africa. You know, there's all different tastes, flavors, cultures, colors, whatever you want to say, but all Christians though. And the subject came up, and just a little side note on the WhatsApp group about the land grab. And the next moment there was a fire. You know, it is not about the land. It's not about the land. It is about what this thing is going to do to break up the church in South Africa. The danger of what, because immediately on that group, there were so many different opinions about good or bad. Is it right or wrong? You know, and I think that book of yours is so important, because it doesn't matter what we think is right or wrong. What matters is what the truth is. The truth in the word. And I've not read your book yet, but you know, what I'm saying is or the point I'm trying to bring across: the danger is not the land. The danger is what this law is going to do to the church in tearing it to pieces. And that is my fear. And I don't want to open that for discussion now. I just wanted to put that down. Because I don't know if the church is in unity or the people of our country is in unity about this particular subject. But the truth is the truth, and we cannot get around it. Maybe Henry can just give us a little bit of information on that book, because it will be interesting to see what the word says about this particular thing. We don't have to have a discussion about it now. I'm just saying that I don't think the purpose of this law or this plan that's going on is to move land into other hands. I think the enemy is using it, or going to be using it, to tear up this this unity that is coming together in our country. And that's all I've got to say about that.
Yeah, I can just give a very brief summary of that. I start off by saying this is not a new thing in the history. It's happened many times before. And when God spoke to Abraham, he called him and said he must go to the land of Canaan, which he gives him as a benefit, as a blessing. And I said, I wonder what the Canaanites thought about that, because he's basically saying he's going to take the land away from the Canaanites and give it to Abraham. And then you read later that he says there that the reason why he took it away from the Canaanites is because of the abominations, the lifestyles of the Canaanites that were so terrible, that he's taking it away from them and giving it to Abraham. And later the prophets speak to Israel, and they say, if you're going to follow the same ungodly practices, the same wicked things, worship of idols and so on, then just as I took the land away from the Canaanites, I will take it away from you. So the taking away of land was essentially from the scriptures as a direct result of abominable deeds. And if you look at the kind of deeds that is described there, those are the things that are happening in South Africa and all over the world. So it's not so much about the land. It's about if we will not listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and follow his word, things will happen negatively to us. And we can take that to our marriages, take that to our lives and so on. We need to be obedient to the word, because the scripture again and again says, if you follow me, I will bless you. I'll bless your land. I will bless your family, your crops and whatever. I'll bless you. But if you do not, the curse will rest on that. So the whole thing about land expropriation and all the scriptures about this, there's a lot of scriptures about that, is speaking about our obedience or disobedience to the laws of God, to the voice of God. If we're obedient, the blessing will rest upon the land, upon our marriages, upon our lives. But if we're not, then we'll lose that blessing. So that's really the summary of the book. But it goes through lots of scriptures just to show why this kind of thing happens. And it's not just land grab, but it goes about, you know, droughts and floods and all sorts of disasters, natural disasters, is really an indication God is busy speaking to the nation. So that's really a summary of that.
Thank you, Henry. I appreciate it. Yeah, I think it's worth a discussion at another time around the table. Absolutely. I don't know if there's anybody on the group around the table that wants to give us their testimony of when the Holy Spirit touched them the first time. You know, put up your hand. I can give you my testimony, and it was a very gentle touch. Henry, like you're saying, maybe a breeze. I'm glad Freek put his hand up, because I think we have the two opposites of our first encounter, Freek. You know, mine was at a Mighty Men. I remember going there in 2008, and you know, I went to Sunday school and I went to church and stuff like that. And then friends of mine took me to the Mighty Men in 2008, as I said. And I remember that Friday afternoon looking at Angus the stage was made up like a boxing ring, and he was, as some Angus do, bouncing around on the stage and being very active. And I thought to myself, what is this old guy's pluck? What is his story? Can't he just calm down? What is going on with him? Something is not well. Exactly like, now that I think of, Paul's case, he almost convinced me. But somewhere during that evening, we call it Saturday morning early, the Holy Spirit came and touched me very gently. I remember the sounds of the voices of the men in the veld in their tents, that raspy voice when you wake up, and the clinging of the kettles, as the guys were making coffee. And somewhere in there, the Holy Spirit touched me and said, I'm here for you this weekend, and it changed everything. Changed everything. If I say everything, I mean everything. And that was just how gentle it was. A soft touch, a breeze, and saying, hand out, come walk with me, I want to show you something. And my willingness to say, okay, let's see, changed everything. Freek, tell us yours.
Yeah, thanks. I actually didn't want to speak about the first time that night in my bedroom, or in the bedroom where the Lord saved me when I was so broken and lost. But I want to share a classic with you a few weeks after that night in the same bedroom that happened to what happened to me, where I just knew the Lord called me into full-time ministry or full-time into his service, especially full-time prison ministry. At that time, I didn't know a lot about the Bible. I didn't even know where the Lord's Prayer was in the Bible. I really, really didn't know. If you would have said, let's read out of Amos, I would have been in the back of the Bible. I need to went to the index to see where's this book they are talking about. But I saw that a lot of Christians were, or people in the church that I especially attended, you could see they were reading their Bible because their Bible were highlighted, and they were making notes for them in their Bible. So for me, it was a new thing. This whole thing about talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, speaking about the Holy Spirit, and remember, part of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit is a person. I always see it myself as the mother of the Trinity, because the Holy Spirit comforts, the Holy Spirit guides, teaches us, especially when we are a newborn, the mother that nurtures and care for you. And I remember I was invited to a church, an English church in Krugersdorp, to share my testimony, and it was a Sunday evening. Now, at that time, my English was very, very, very gefaarlijk. It was dangerous. It was not a language I was speaking a lot. It was a challenge. We always used to say we just used it for self-defense. And so I was, but I saw all the people, especially ministers, they had this leather Bible. So a friend of mine actually lent his Bible for me that night, because I had to look like and I was in my suit, and because of my old days in the underworld, if I had a suit on, the day when I had a suit on, they would have known, money will be taken today. Something bad is going to happen to somebody. And so I walked into the church with this leather Bible, but it was Afrikaans, Nieuwe Vertaling, the 83 translation. And I remember I started giving my testimony, but it was so difficult, especially in English. And when I share this, what happened, everybody laughs and remember this, but I want to speak about the classic thing that happened afterward for me. And I was looking for this because I was testifying, and I remember I wanted to say that I was a thief. I was so wicked that I would have stolen the sugar out of your coffee. But I wanted to say I was a thief, and I couldn't get thief. I couldn't get thief. Now you must remember, I'm Afrikaans. I got thief, 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 and Afrikaans thief. But when I got to the English, at that stage, I said I was a stoler. And that's all that I, and everybody was laughing. But I was like, ugh. And after, when I finished, I really was disappointed. You know, it was the first time I was invited to share my testimony in the church. And it was English, and I just felt, no, this is, I heard the Lord, I'm not for this. I don't know the Bible. I'm still seeking who God was. I was really not into this, preaching the word. And remember, my mindset is I had to go now and study to become a pastor or to preach the word of God. So it was not in my planning. I had a business with a friend at that time. We started off, and after I gave my testimony, a couple came out to the front and they anointed me with oil. Now that was also very strange for me. You know, I didn't know what was this. So she explained to me what they are doing now. They're going to anoint my head with oil because that's what the Bible said. And I was very basics, back to basics. I just said, well, if it's in the Bible, do it, you know. But you're scared. You don't know what's going to come here. And they anointed me with oil, and she started prophesying. Now, listen to this classic, classic, godly, heavenly thing that happened to me that night. She started prophesying, and in the prophecy, she spoke about prison. And while she was prophesying this, On the inside of me, it was like I was getting, I can't explain. I'm not a woman, so I don't know how it feels to get impregnated. But it felt like I got pregnant with something. On my inside, my whole inner man was jumping with joy. And it's like, just give me more. I want more. I want more. And you know, this is the living water. I want more. I want more. Give me more. Say more. And but when she said prison, I thought, okay, there is cases, investigations still against me. I probably will go to prison now. You know, that's what I thought. And so when I got back home, where I stayed at that time, in the room where the Lord saved me, I closed the door and I took this leather Bible and I just opened it. Now, I'm not saying just open your Bible and point the finger and say, okay, Judas went and hanged himself. Okay, I must go and hang myself. That's dangerous. Be careful. But when I opened the Bible, I opened it up in Isaiah 61. Now, remember at that time, I didn't know about Luke 4, the Lord standing up in the synagogue, reading from Isaiah 61 and saying, this prophecy has come to fulfillment today. I didn't know about that. Nothing. I didn't know about Isaiah prophesying about the Lord Jesus in Luke, nothing. But I opened up my Bible, the Bible that friend of mine lent me, and why I'm saying it was a classic, I just want to share this with you. I got this now in the Amplified, Isaiah 61 Amplified Bible, classic edition. I love this. Now listen to this, Isaiah 61:1. I was reading it, was now in Afrikaans. The heading of the Afrikaans in the 83 translation says, ear and plas on smart. So honor and not tears or what it means. But in Isaiah 61:1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed and qualified me to preach the gospel of good tidings to the meek. Anointed and qualified me. The Lord anointed and qualified. Now, if God qualifies you to do something, you are qualified. And if God anoints you to do something, but listen to this, the poor and the afflicted, he has sent me to bind up the healed, the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the physical and spiritual captives, and the opening of the prison and of the eyes of those who are bound. Now, by God's grace, it's May 2025. This was 24 years back that this happened. What am I still doing today, by the grace of God, after 24 years. That night, God called me. People will say, but did you hear his voice? No, he called me out of his word. But the word was not just letter. It was not just words on a paper. It was the living word of God by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And by God's grace, he qualified me, he anointed me. There was times I said, go to Bible school, I'll pay for you. And the Lord just said to me, no, you go to prison. And that's what Uncle English said about being obedient. And it doesn't make sense. Lord, how am I going to survive? How am I going to survive preaching to prisoners? By the grace of God, October this year, it will be 24 years full-time preaching in prisons. And the Lord anointed me, qualified me, and provides for me.
Wonderful.
And that's how important it is. If it doesn't make sense, yes, I spoke to the pastor at that time in the church that I went to. I spoke to him the next day, and I said to him, the Lord called me last night full-time into ministry. And it was the first thing he asked me, how do you know it was the Lord? I said, because he was with me in the room. He was so present in the room. The same God that saved me a few weeks before that in when I was so lost. And I said to him, and he said to me, all right, get, I think he said three, what's the English now? You need to get, let's say, proof.
Confirmation.
Confirmation, thanks. Confirmation that it is from God. And I don't want to lie now, but I received more than three that day from the Lord, confirmations that he has called me. But especially at that time, not knowing prison, like I'm going to preach in prisons. And he's going to open up the doors, the gates for me to go into prisons. But like Sami said, even last week or the week before that, when we went into the prisons, every time when I go into prison, I know God goes before us. He's within us, because I will never enter into a prison, any prison, going into a prison without the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit gives me the boldness to say that Jesus is Lord. That Jesus is the only way out of crime and violence and gangsterism. Because what he did for me, he can surely do for them. Coming back to one night, can't even speak English perfectly. And most of the times nowadays, I have to preach in English in prisons. And God didn't make me a professor in English. Like you said, Henry, how many books you wrote? And I barely got my trick. But if God calls you and God anoints you with what? With his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and he qualifies you, you can go and you can trust God. Maybe a lot of times you won't see his hand in your life, but you can always know, you can always trust his heart. God is faithful. And remember, he doesn't call you to be famous. He calls you to be faithful. And if you are faithful in a little, he will add on. And trust you with more. Thank you.
Thank you, Freek. So what you're saying is you've got a life sentence, a lifetime prison sentence that even...
They say you've got a life sentence in Afrikaans prison, you can blow bike. So I've been sentenced almost now for 25 years. That's what heaven gave me, a life sentence to go to prison.
With no chance for parole.
Nothing. I tried how many times, I thought, no, this is the end. Nuh-uh. You go, boy, you go.
Awesome. Peter, you got your hand up.
Yeah, your parole is going to be fantastic. There's a halfway house that is heavenly waiting for you. I was a young Christian, and a visiting preacher came up from Cape Town to Alberton, where I was, and... while he was talking, I think we were about 500 in the room, and he pointed to me and he called me up and he said, the Lord says, I must give you permission to be weird, fremd, not super spooky, not super spiritual, not stupid, but vreemd. And I received it and I thought, well, whatever. Then he pointed across the room and he called out my wife without knowing she's my wife. She was busy with Sunday school and she was there with the kids. They were getting ready to go out or come back or whatever. And he called her out and he said to her, and you, madam, are horse from the same stable. Now, immediately it got my attention because we are of the same stable, you know. And he said, you too have got permission. And since then, I have learnt by experience, step by step. That's the way Freek has learnt. That's the way Henry has learnt. If you will just get the first bit of light and take the step, God can move a moving ship. He can steer a moving vehicle. But you cannot steer a stationary vehicle. If you won't move, if you won't take a step of faith, without faith it's impossible. And it's always going to take a step of faith, even if it's a gentle step or it might be a huge step, but it's going to cost you. There's always a cost. There's a lot of dying to self that has to happen for you to become really sensitive to the sensitivity of the Holy Spirit. And we're all on that journey. And so I asked the Lord over many years, what does this mean, permission to be weird? And he said, it's permission to respond to what my Holy Spirit says. Now, even on this group, I just need to bring, I need to say this, with love. The Holy Spirit is not a it. I've heard even on this group, people calling him an it. It's not a force or a power. It's a person. He is a person, the third person. Now, when permission to be framed, all Christian believers have got permission from heaven to be framed. What that means is you take Elijah or Elisha or any one of the prophetic actions in the Bible. You take your cloak. The Holy Spirit says, take your cloak and hit the water. And now that the world will look at you and say, man, that's a dom dang om te din. You're in the desert. It's frack coat there at night. And you're going to have a wet cloak to sleep in. And so the world will not understand you. But because you're operating by another set of rules, a heavenly set of rules, you have permission from God that God has got your back. He's got your six. If you will take the step, he will follow up. He will not allow you to be destroyed or abandoned or embarrassed, or it'll cost you your reputation. It'll cost you your pride. And that's the dying to self. And so I'll close with this little example. About 2 days ago, my wife's car was making a hang of a noise. And what I know about cars is dangerous. And my mechanic pal referred me to a particular place. I won't mention the name deliberately. Referred me to a particular place here in town to go and have them check out this exhaust. And I went there and they said they have to refit. On my way there, just down the road here, there's a place called Fast Fit. And that name I will mention. And as I rode past there, this little wind touched my heart and said, that's where you must go. But I carried on riding because my clever pal had told me, go to this other place. So I go to the other place, They hardly even looked. They said, man, you have to do the whole system. It's going to cost you just under 3 grand. I said, no, wait, that it doesn't fit with me. And so I went to Fast Fit, the place where I'd sensed I need to go. And I walked in there, and the peace of God came upon me. I think on the wall somewhere I saw a cross, but it wasn't, they weren't throwing Bible tracts at me. They weren't standing up preaching the gospel. I just walked in there and I knew my father is okay with this place. And the guy said, listen, I can fix that. We just replaced that. One little piece cost you $400 and you're on your way. And I said, do it. There we go. Thank you, Father. You see, now, had I listened the first time, it would have saved me all the schlep. But so we learn. And I just want to say that whole thing just to encourage you. You have permission to follow the Holy Spirit. Even if the world wants to think you're stupid, we don't usually do it that way, or it's a against tradition. You have permission. Jy toestemming om vreemd te wees in die Here. Okay, thanks, guys.
Thank you, Peter. Yes, I always think when I feel uncomfortable here, where I find myself here on Earth, I realize that it's not my permanent dwelling. You know, you're just a visitor here. In any case, Umvim, go ahead, please.
Thank you. Thank you, Menzo. Just a quick one, very briefly. I understand in my own life, the more near and the more you see God, the more you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Now, very often in my own life, there's a couple of things I can call where I know the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit spoke to me and guide me in a specific direction. And I can just think of one experience, also the similar with vehicles. And this is a strange thing I'm going to say to you. I at a point in time, I worked for a guy and he conned me out of a lot of funds, but that doesn't matter. And the end result was I had to repair my vehicle at one of the components in the vehicle, which is a new one, cost more or less 6 grand. And I went to a guy that I, as Peter, my friend Peter Warren said, pastor's garage is an old, not a big one, not a fancy one, but I stopped there and said, can you help me? It's a single guy. It doesn't belong to a group of companies, vehicle companies, but it's a single oak who worked there. And I went in and said, can you help me? I said, yeah, I can repair this spare part. He opened it up and said, I can repair so often. But I was really cash stricken. But we looked for approximately half a day for the spare part. We couldn't find it. He came back to me and said, well, sorry, man, I can't help you. I can't find the spare part for the specific component of the vehicle. Let's put it together and put it back in your car and see what happens. Now, listening to the Lord, just to go into this so-called single man operation, garage, the Lord, he put it together and strange, it works perfectly for another 6 months. Then I could buy the new component. Sounds strange, but you need to learn to what God is saying to you. A closure on another one. I worked for this one guy who conned me out of the funds, but that doesn't matter. And there came someone to him, one of the employees came to him. To him and say, no, he needs some funds to take his wife to the Zangoma because the medical doctors can't do anything to her. She had a problem in her stomach. And as per the way I grew up, we know we can't go to Zangomas and we know what the negativity thereof is and all the stories around it. So I took a bold step and just and God said to me, go and pray for him. I said, whoa, for this lady. I said, whoa. All right, he's in a it's one of the townships. It's far in the townships, and I was really worried to go, but I had to go because that was the instruction. Just show you how the Lord works there. As we pray, she stood up and she said, I'm healed. And I don't claim to be a prayer healer, All I'm saying, listen to what God says, and He will at the end of the help. Because when you ask for funds to go to the Sangoma, we refuse that. My advice to the owner was, no, 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 we can't do that. He said, well, then you must go and pray. If you believe so much, go and pray for the guy. He said, no, we can rather pray for him. But and I knew I had to go up to where the lady is. And in that bed where she lies with the pain and moans and groans, she stood up, she said, I'm healed. So listen to the Lord, and He will make miracles through you. We always think it is someone else. But as long as the moment you give yourself and listen to what Jesus said, He will work through you. And the most important direction that I always receive is the story in the Bible about Moses at the brand and the brambles. The bush was burning. God says, go to Pharaoh. And we know what happens at Pharaoh, at the king. Because what happens, the Holy Spirit, when He sent you, is already there to prepare the soil and the surroundings for you. Thank you, gentlemen. This is my story, very briefly.
Thank you. Thank you, Mvim. Yes, I think all of us has got so many things that we can tell about the Holy Spirit guiding us and the wonderful things that go with it. And there's always, Freke, is always that feeling or the warm feeling of love when something like that happens. You know, you can identify it with that feeling of love in your heart when you fully engage. Yes. Okay. I think let's call it a meeting. Thank you very much for sitting around the table, your contributions. It's good seeing you all. And we'll, if God willing, we'll do this next week again. We'll continue down this path with the Holy Spirit. What an awesome meeting. Thank you very much, everybody. Have a great week. See you next week. Keep warm.